We know the way to home. Look at each other again and say, welcome home. Welcome home. We are welcoming God at home in our lives, and God has welcomed us home here. Would you turn to Psalm 132, please? Psalm 132 this morning. And the name of this message indeed is called Welcome Home. We spend time looking for the right home, the right place, the right kind of comfort zone, if you will, that holds our peace when we are there. There's a favorite place in your house and a favorite view, and there's the right kind of furniture in the sofa or the chair you like to sit in. There's a place of comfort and peace and really, frankly, nourishment. But Jesus, for the Christian, for us, He is our habitation. Jesus is our home. Amen? Yeah. Say it with me. Jesus is our home. The Bible says we're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. We are His home. So church, welcome home. Grace Christian Center, welcome home. And in Jesus, welcome home in us. Are we those who love Him, adore Him with all of our hearts? So is He at home in our praise and at home in our lives? Welcome home, Jesus, and thank You for letting us be welcomed home here. Psalm 132, I'll read it from the NIV, and I'll read some of the scriptures. I won't read all of them, but the first verse says, a song of ascension, O Lord, remember David and the hardships he endured. There are 14 psalms here when they made their way up to Jerusalem to worship three times a year. And the psalm is a psalm of ascending. It's one of the songs they sang as they were heading up to their feasts. Verse 2, he swore an oath. Remember David is who we're talking about. He swore an oath to the Lord. And he made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. Verse 3, I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids, till I find a place for the Lord. Say that phrase with me, would you? First part of verse 5. Till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty God of Jacob. Verse 7. Let us go to His dwelling place. Let us worship at His footstool. And I'm going now to verse 8. Arise, O Lord, come to Your resting place, You and the ark of Your might. May Your priests be clothed with righteousness. May Your saints shout for joy. Can I hear you shouting for joy this morning? Woo! That's pretty good. Let's do that one more time. Yay, Jesus! There's some life lessons I want to take some time and just quickly go through this morning in this psalm. Point number one, hungry for God. Hungry for God. How many in this room are hungry? Hungry for God or just hungry? There's good refreshments afterwards too, right? Right, Sue? I'm looking at you this morning. Sue and Sherry and who, whatever ladies brought refreshments. We guys are in your debt. Right? Anyway, hungry for God. The psalmist here is hungry for God. If there is no spiritual hunger in our life, there is no revelation. There are no eyes to see. You don't see your own neediness for Jesus. There's no recognition of the fact that Jesus loves you and He can meet your needs. Spiritual hunger, there's got to be something that burns inside that says, I need something more than what I've got. Jesus, I want You. I love You. I need You. I'm only walking through this thing trying my best to follow hard after You. Jesus, You saved me. You radically delivered me. You forgave me. You gave me new life. And all I want to do is fulfill Your destiny. Is there something that burns inside your soul like that? Come on, church, let me hear you. Does it burn inside your soul like that? You know, I got saved when I was 16, filled with the Spirit. My life changed. My friends thought I was just crazy and just going through a phase. Again, I've said it before, longest phase of my life. But I'm hungry. There's something. I make mistakes. I mess up. I need to come back to Jesus, ask His forgiveness. Thankfully for that psalm this morning, you know, it is His habit to forgive. But there's something, no matter what happens, something burning in my spirit. Jesus, I want You. I want to please You. I'm hungry for You. You have that burning in your soul this morning? Oh, God, I'm hungry for You. That's what was in the psalmist's spirit. That drives you forward to Him, to seeing your need, the need for the Savior, your need for His presence, your need to surrender to Him. David's hunger drove him to find a place in Jesus. I want Him. I won't rest until I find Him in His presence. I won't go to sleep until I know that He's at home in me. I want His presence so much in this church, don't you? that we will not rest until we say, okay, Lord, what's the next step? Okay, God, what do you want us to do? Michael and Molly say, come, let's anoint them. It's time. I just want God's presence in what I'm doing in my life, on my job, in my home, with my relatives. Oh, God, won't you do what you want to do? Move. I'm hungry for you. Amen? I'm hungry for you, Lord. We want God's presence so much. Spiritual hunger in our lives means that Jesus is first. Not our jewelry, not our cars, not our houses, not our building, not our decorations, not anything. We thank God for all of those things. And you know, the decorations that Betty and all the women have done, it's all about reminding us of Jesus. It's not worshiping a bow or a garland. It's worshiping Jesus. And it's reminding us of what he's done for us. It's not just coming to a building because, gosh, isn't it nice to have a nicer building? Well, that is nice. But it's a tool for expressing his presence. It's a tool for the glory of God. I'm hungry for you here, Lord. Jesus, the greatest miracle gift for Christmas. And this psalmist said, I won't go home. I won't go to sleep till I find a habitation for God. Now, that word in the Hebrew is mishkan, and it means literally a residence. I will not rest until I give my God residence. Church, is that your heart? To give God residence inside of you, in your home, in your church, in your life? I want to be in his location. I want to be in his residence. I want to be in God's house. I want to be where God is. Is Jesus Christ first and foremost in your life? That's why we come to church, don't you know? You know, it's fun. We get along. We're a fellowship and group of people. We really like to eat together. But first and foremost, we're here because we love Jesus together. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I want him in his presence. I want to please him. I want to know him. I want to know Jesus. And Lord, just settle down in my heart. That's really literally what this means. A settling down in the habitation of my heart. We welcome you. We welcome you, Lord. We put on a display. Why? For a display? No, we're welcoming Jesus. Be enthroned in our praise. And we welcome you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He's looking for people who are spiritually hungry, who say to Jesus, welcome home. And he creates a home for us. This morning on our first service here in this place, we've come here again because we're looking for something more, something deeper, something different, something better. I want to keep growing to be more like him. I want more of his presence today than ever before, don't you? Something more. Wow. Number two, because I'm hungry, I go to God's house. I'm hungry, and because of that hunger, I go to God's house. I find a place in him, and then I find his place in me. I love him because he first loved me. I want to be with him. I want to be with his people. You know, there's something that burns in my spirit, and it's probably in your heart, or you wouldn't be here this morning. I want to be in God's house. What's going to happen in the house of the Lord this morning? I don't want to miss it. You ever feel that way? I don't want to miss what God's doing. And I got to go. I got to be in God's house. I got to be with God's people. Lord, what are you going to do this morning? What are you going to say prophetically? What songs are we going to sing? How are we going to do this? How's it going to work on our first service here? I want to be in God's house. I want to be in a place where I can be with God's people and with God's house and God's presence. The Old Testament. We've told the story before, but if you recall in your history, there was the priest Eli. And Eli was a priest before the Lord. But he didn't raise his children up with appropriate discipline. And his children grew up to be people that were stealing the offerings in the tabernacle or in the tent. And they were raping women in the gates. And they were not holy people. And God said, because you didn't discipline your children and raise them up in the right way, I am lifting this anointing off of your life. And I will look for a man after my own heart. I will raise up an entirely new priesthood, a group of people who want me. Do you want Jesus this morning? There's a whole new lineage, God says, and I want something different than what's been there before. I'm not interested in that anymore, Eli. You've lost it. So then what happens? You have the Philistines come to attack Israel. Remember the story? The Philistines come to attack Israel. And Israel, though they have not walked with God and their leaders have not walked with God, they say, go get us the ark. We want God's presence. And of course, when the company and when the nation was walking with God, the ark represented the presence of God without question. So what do? They go get the ark of God. And you read this glorious thing that happens. They bring the ark of God into the camp of Israel. And what begins to take place? A huge shout. Wow, God is with us. It's a rumbling, a praise. God is here. God is here. God is here. Only guess what? God wasn't there. The next thing you know, the Philistines had taken the ark and defeated the people of Israel. Do you know why? Because God's people weren't walking with God. All the religious things become, if we are not walking with God and dwelling in His presence, they only become religious artifacts. Churches can be nothing more than mausoleums if we don't have the presence of God. The ark of God in that case, folks, and I'm not trying to be crass, the ark of God in that illustration, because the people were far from God, was nothing more than a glorified rabbit's foot. God, give us the victory. I don't have anything to do with you. I don't want you. I don't want to walk with you. But when I'm in trouble, I need you. Come through now. They lost the ark. God's presence, God's glory had departed. In fact, one of the babies that was born to one of Eli's sons, they named, remember? Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. Folks, I am not interested in the name Ichabod being on anything we do. I'm interested in the name of Jesus over everything we do. I'm interested in His presence, His love. I don't want Ichabod. Or that old joke. Remember the old joke? Y'all remember that old joke? Somebody was prophesying. So is all prophecy of God, or sometimes we prophesy out of our flesh? Somebody was in this meeting of the pastors, and this man stands up and he says, I see the name Michelob over the door. Obviously, this is an aside. Okay, we'll move on. Okay, I don't want the name Michelob or Ichabod over our door, okay? All right? I want God's presence. So the ark was stolen. But what happened is when the ark of God, they put it in the house of Dagon, the Philistine god. This is one of the coolest stories in the Bible. Do you remember what happened? Next morning, Dagon, splat, fell down right on his face. There was nobody to push that god over except the presence of God. They go, how many of you think the Philistine who was at the gate and checked on that the next morning probably went, that's creepy. So they write their god. You know, anytime you've got to prop up your god, you don't have the right one, don't you know? So they prop up their god, and they say, okay, let's see if this is just a coincidence. Okay. And so they prop up the god. What happens? Next morning, come in. Dagon's head's cut off, and his hands are cut off. He's got no power, no crowning authority, and he's got no ability to work. He is a workless god, a non-anointed god of stone and an idol. And somebody who puts their trust in that have an empty promise to look forward to. But the ark of God didn't work for the people of God because they didn't want to walk with God. But God's presence is still there to heal, deliver, save, and make whole if the people of God will turn to Him again. So the ark of God, still full of the presence of God. And, you know, by this time, the Philistines have broken out in boils. They have problems with rats. They've got all sorts of problems. And they brightly say, I think we better get rid of this ark. So they make a new cart, put the ark on the new cart, and they say, we'll know this is God messing with us if it takes the road, there's a Y in the road, if it takes the road to Israel, if it takes the other road, we'll know it's just a coincidence. And guess what? When they set that cow or whatever it was free to go take that ark back, that cow was following the direction of the Holy Spirit driver. And he said, come on, let's go home. Took the right road. Now, the story, to make a long story short, the people of Israel who welcomed the ark didn't handle the ark right, and it created a plague among them. But there, the ark was found in the house of Obed-Edom. And Obed-Edom was a simple man who loved God the way God wanted to be loved. And that ark stayed in his house probably for well over 100 years and with his household. Now what you have is after Eli, remember they wanted a king, and King Saul comes up. King Saul never took his nation back to find the ark. They worshipped God at a relic where the ark wasn't there. An arkless tent. How many would rather have God's presence? The ark represents the presence of God. I don't want an arkless church service, do you? Wow, where was the ark this morning? I'd rather have God's presence. So what did they do? They didn't go find the ark. But King David. King David said, I want God. The most important thing in my life is I want God. You go, you can look at me all day long and say, yeah, David messed up. David was a murderer. David had adultery. David did all this stuff. Aren't you glad that God's habit is to forgive? Because even after all of those things, God says he's the man after my own heart. Why? Because David said, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to give rest to my eyelids. I'm not going to my own house. I got to find a place for God. I got to find him. I want him. I love him. I need him. Oh, God, won't you please move and usher in your presence into everything that we think, do, and say, move here today. Oh, God, let's not just be another church. Let's not just be some other religious meeting. Let's not just have religious artifacts and all the trappings of what church does today. Oh, God, without your presence, we're nothing. Oh, Lord, what we want is we're hungry for you. And what we want is, because we're hungry, we'll come into your house. We'll come together. And it's a good thing to go meet with God. And we'll come and we'll say, oh, God, won't you move and change our lives today? There's room for you here. 2,000 years ago, there was not room for a baby in a manger in an inn. So they found him out in the stables. Is there room for him here in our lives? Church, we had a prophecy. Was it just last week? Where the Lord said, I'm going before you. If you read your Old Testament, Moses said to the Lord when they were beginning their wanderings, he said, look, God, when you know God real personally, you can talk to him that way, right? Not real. Look, God, if you don't go before us, I don't even want to go. If you don't go before us, Lord, I don't even want to go. Yeah, maybe I don't understand it all at times, and I don't know how to do it all perfectly at times, but Jesus, all I can do is say hallelujah and sing an old chorus I learned, and because my heart wants you more than anything else. God, if you don't go before us, well, this, it doesn't make any sense. How many have a lot of things to do in your life? Come on, got a lot of things to do? I mean, you could save yourself a couple of hours on Sunday morning, couldn't you? No. Because the spark of life that ignites your whole reason for living and your destiny is the presence of God. Oh, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, come on, let's go. It's time to go to church. It's time to go to God's house. Oh, God, I want you. Welcome home, Jesus, in us. Be pleased to dwell here. Welcome home. I'm hungry for God, and that's what was David's spirit. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. King Saul never went for the ark, but David did. And then what does David say? So, because of this hunger, we will go into your tabernacles. His people are his habitation. Say the word habitation. We will go, we will worship, we are his habitation. The word worship is shakah in Hebrew. It means to fall down, do reverence and to worship. We'll fall at his footstool. Life begins with hunger for him, and we become the place where he dwells. We're hungry for him. We're committed to keeping him first. Oh, by the way, here's a little aside. I've done a couple of those already this morning. Don't you dare be afraid to say Merry Christmas to somebody. Well, I'd like to welcome you to the holiday time of year, and we're going to sing holiday songs. And frankly, come to our church. We have a holiday church. folks, don't be afraid of Merry Christmas. I appreciate there are some businesses and there are some people that may not want to receive it, but you know, most people, if I were to go to Israel and live there full time, if I were to live there, I would not be offended if they sent me a Happy Hanukkah card. I would not. In fact, I'd frankly love to get a Happy Hanukkah card. I love the Israelis. That's fine. They need Jesus like everybody else. Love them. God loves them. Okay? So when you live in this Judeo-Christian country, it ought not to be an offense to consider it Christmas time. Okay, that's enough, isn't it? All right. What's the conditional? There's a few verses in here I didn't read. They're verses 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12 of Psalm 132 says, let your priests be clothed with, say the word with me, please, righteousness. Let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne, David, the fruit of your body, if, say the word loudly with me, please, if your sons will keep my covenant, my testimony, which I shall teach them. Their sons shall sit on your throne forevermore. Lord, we dedicate this place to you, and God's promise is to be with his people, to bless and strengthen them. But the conditionals are always crucial to circle in your Bibles. If we will walk with him and stay true to him. Grace Christian Center, if we will walk with God and keep him first and foremost, if we will make our passion pursuing Jesus and running hard after him, if we will keep him first and desire to be changed and transfigured and transformed and my mind more like him, my attitudes, my actions more like him, if I'll do it, God says, I'll keep moving. And the last point, God chooses those who choose him, his Zion. When you read in the scriptures and the Psalms about Zion, you're reading about the people in whom he loves to dwell. For I have chosen Zion, there I will make my habitation, the Bible says. This is my rest forever, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. The word habitation is mashab, and it means population, assembly. In the assembly, in the population of people that are hungry for me, I will make my habitation. And the word dwell, where he says he will dwell, you know what the word means? In the Hebrew, it's yashav. And that word literally means, if they will keep me first and foremost, I will marry them. Are you married to Jesus this morning? Are you? Married to Jesus? That's what it's all about. That's what God desires. And then if we'll do that, the Bible promises blessing, provision, spiritual feeding, and natural provision. The Bible tells us in the Psalm that the priesthood, those who are your spiritual leaders, will be blessed. There'll be joy and worship, and the people of God will shout aloud for joy. There'll be authority. There'll be blessing. God is our victory. The enemies will be defeated and ashamed. The Scripture says his light will shine bright as we keep lifting Jesus higher. There's a Psalm in chapter 57, verse 7. Psalm 57, 7 says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. God's looking for people who want him to be everything. Is Jesus your everything? Come on, let me hear you. Church, is Jesus your everything? Are you glad to be his? We're looking for a place, Lord, for you to feel at home. Oh, it's not just a building, it's my heart. We're looking for a place, Lord, where we can be at home. We get to gather together in the family of God together and enjoy coming to him. Grace Christian Center, do you want to see God move? Lord, pack this place out with hungry people. And it'll be hungry people who will invite other hungry people, who will shine the light and say, come find my Jesus. He'll love you. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a reason and hope and life and destiny. Grace is wonderful, isn't it? I'm not here to preach the bad news this morning. I'm here to tell you there's a lot of good news. And people need that kind of hope. This Christmas season, people need to hear the true story of not just the babe in the manger, but the one who was born preciously into our world, who grew to take your sins and mine, who died and rose again. Welcome home, church, in the presence of God, and let Him always have a welcome home within us. Let's stand. Jesus, we thank You for the sweetness of Your presence, for these people who have worked so hard. And I pray that You will refresh and bless them today and let them know Your sweet return on their muscles and on their time. Refresh and strengthen and bless them, Lord. Jesus, most of all, as we dedicate our lives in this place to You, Lord, we want You to be welcomed home in our hearts and in this place. We love You. Can you just tell Him you love Him this morning? We love You, Jesus, with all of our hearts.